This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Here, here, to help. Here, here, to help.
We are, Jake.
You know, wow. what I just got, Garf?
Huh?
A response from the Reiki person.
Oh, wow. This is an update. What
Wait,
do you got?
Is there, so, was there smoke in your room, or is that a, did you see that, Kevin, in his thing? Or I think you
I
might
just
have
lit
a buzz.
There's a small fire. That's fine, though. I don't want anything to get in the way of the intro. So tell me about this Reiki thing. I'll die in a house fire. Oh, you don't know.
I don't know.
What was the first email you wrote?
You come highly recommended. What's Reiki?
What's Reiki?
is this real?
Can we call Explain you Jakey Reiki?
Works. I love it. Yeah. Well, if I do it,
Reiki
it
Jakey.
Works, yeah. There's a real chance it's going to be Mo on that table, and they're going to go like, "We are now releasing from your knee," and I'm going to go, "You haven't released nothing.
$75.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to give you that $75 and two pokes in the eyeball. You release nothing. Let me see the energy. If you released a bunch of energy for me, let me see the trauma.
Put
it in a fucking jar. I'm going to take it with me.
We really, by the way, I love how Mo's turning into Joe Pesci. He's becoming.
By the way, who do you think inspired Joe Pesci? Joe Pesci used to have a two-person singing act.
What?
Joe Pesci is like a song and dance man.
That's amazing.
When he started, you know how we all started with our, like, you and Evan, you know, our little two-man sketch groups and comedy groups? That's what Joe Pesci was doing.
Wow.
He did big sketches and songs. Then he watched Three Stooges. This is a makeup. He watched Mo and he goes like this. I think I could do that and I'm only 5'2".
He's letting him live.
And you probably Googled if Mo in real life, if we Googled him, I bet he's a little guy. Probably 5'1".
He probably was. And I bet he was a nice guy. Whenever you see those things, you're always like, that's what they say, like Harpo and the Marx Brothers. He was like, he was the funniest guy, but he never spoke. Mo was probably just like a real sweetheart. He's like, I'm sorry about the eyeballs.
We have a great guest on the show today, which I'm really excited about, from Mythical Kitchen, Josh Scheer, a.k.a. the Mythical Chef Josh. He has a show on YouTube called Last Meals, which I was on. You could check it out. It's a great show. He cooks all your last meals and then asks you questions. And we actually had a really good chat. He did on his show, they produced the hell out of it, where they brought, Kevin, who was the guy he brought on again? The guy from the ostrich farm.
Yeah, the caller from the ostrich farm.
Right. He came onto the show, which was a lot of fun. He's got a book right now called Mythical Cookbook. And he's just a great guest. He comes on, he crushes it. He's a lot of fun. We appreciate him coming on the show. So if you're a fan of Josh, you're going to enjoy it. And if you're not, I think you're going to become a fan. And so, Kevin, how do we get out of here?
Without further ado.
And now the show's beginning. Welcome to We're Here to Help, caller. Can we get your name, where you're calling from, and your age, please?
Yeah, I'm Garrett, calling from Indianapolis, and I'm 29.
Whoa, Garrett. Okay. Well, Garrett, listen, I'm not going to lie. You've got a pretty special one here. You got Jake Johnson, always here. You got me, Gareth. But you also have the host and author, but the host of the wildly successful and popular Mythical Kitchen. Josh Scheer is here. Give it up. Hello.
Crazy no successful, way. That show.
Crazy.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate that.
It is
a hell of an intro.
It's a great... I mean, we'll talk about it more,
yes.
But it really is.
Yes. We're going to save that for the...
It's so engaging. It's such a great way to mix food and interviewing. It is no wonder.
As fun of a show to be a guest on.
Oh, I love
As there is.
Episode.
Thank you. One, thank you. You were an incredible guest. Everybody loved that episode. Two, we figured if Hot Ones is asking people to like burn their buttholes off,
yeah,
we would do the exact opposite. We're like, come eat your favorite foods. All you got to do is talk about dying.
All right, Garrett. We're all missing the H on your name. Why don't you let us solve your problem? What's going on?
Okay. So I've been dating my girlfriend for about 10 months. When we first started dating, we were watching Guardians of the Galaxy. I had passively mentioned that I liked, you know, the character Rocket. And I have a few funny stories about some raccoons that lived in my backyard. Now, I didn't intend for this to be talking about like a deep interest of mine, but she's since like taken off and ran with this. So it started off, she got me a raccoon finger puppet as a housewarming gift. And then it moved to like stickers and Christmas ornament.
Yeah.
Now I have like wall art and posters of raccoons in my living room.
I get this.
You got like a raccoon fat head on the wall?
No, I get this. This happened with my mom. My mom mentioned once she liked frogs.
Yeah.
So every holiday, I just got her frogs, and finally she's like, "I like them fine.
They're not. I'm not identifying with them."
But you're like, once you have an in, if you don't know, she just knows he likes raccoons.
It's what I go through with the Packers, and I'm not even doing a bit.
I think this is right.
I've identified myself as a huge Packer fan, and I am now in my 40s, going like, I can't wear the cheese head anymore. It's sad, and people are like, here you go, more fake cheese. Yeah.
All I hear is people complaining about others giving them gifts.
Yeah.
You just accept it. You just accept it.
Yeah, but
you know, I had this guy give me a book once. That was just...
I had a guy give me the Mythical Cookbook, which was very successful. What book did you get?
I got Master and Margarita. It's about Russia.
It's not just about Russia. I mean, the Bolshevik Revolution.
It's about the Bolshevik Revolution.
It's a good book.
Yeah.
All right, so Garrett, you've become a guy who receives nothing but raccoon gifts. The floor is yours.
Yeah, and so I'm like, even just last weekend, I was looking to get a tattoo, and she influenced me to get. So now I have a raccoon tattoo.
Whoa.
Big escalation.
She
just went from the driver's seat to you're in the driver's ed car, and you're the teacher.
Yeah, hold on.
That's a wild twist.
Also, I don't buy that she bullied you into getting a raccoon tattoo.
No, that's what I mean.
Tattoo.
It's like...
No, she didn't bully me.
Garrett, you got a raccoon. So what's the... Okay.
Please.
So, well, I don't want to start jumping in. I want more setup. So you just got a raccoon tattoo. The floor is still yours.
But I saw it, you know, sort of as a joke. And I just, you know, kept going with it over these past 10 months. But she's genuine in thinking that I have like this obsession with raccoons. Like anytime she sees anything, she's like, oh, either I got this for you, which I think it's sweet, you know?
Sure. That's why you're calling.
I just need to know. Yeah, I just need to know, like, how do I tell her that I'm not actually, like, obsessed with raccoons?
Well, first of all, get rid of your raccoon tattoo.
Buddy, you got a raccoon tattoo last week, and now you can't put the raccoon genie back in the bottle.
You know what certain women say? This whole world of, like, boys are simple and girls are complicated. If I were her, I have no idea what message you're sending, Garrett.
Dude.
How do I tell her I don't like raccoons after I told her I like raccoons and I got a raccoon
after
tattoo?
I got a raccoon on my belly.
There's a very simple answer here.
Please.
You're a raccoon guy now for life.
100%.
You have to lean in. A tattoo. I want to know what the bridges were from finger puppet to tattoo. There have to be bridges, right?
Garrett, why did you get a raccoon tattoo if you're not that interested in raccoons?
On top of that question, please tell us where dimensions and specificity of what this is.
And can you send us a photo of it that we can post? Are you comfortable with that?
Or is there any way for you to send it?
I have one.
Oh, you do have one?
Yeah. I'll put it up.
Keep all right, so Garrett, keep talking. We're going to see it as you're going, but can you describe the tattoo?
Yeah, so it's a raccoon that's sort of like cosplaying as Ash Ketchum from Pokemon.
Holy fuck. Garrett, come on. 10 months and you're getting this? This is, I mean, and you may as well ask her to marry you.
Was this your idea or her idea?
So sort of both. I had wanted something sort of similar to this. And then...
What is similar to this?
Yeah.
I wanted something sort of Pokemon themed.
Okay.
So you like Pokemon a lot. But now let me ask you a real question. What is your... So... You do like raccoons, or you just kind of said it?
I mean, I don't dislike raccoons.
This is wild. This is real life, you're a wild guy.
See, Garrett, I think we all were like identifying the problem until enormous raccoon tattoo you got on your bicep that is visible in a t-shirt.
Wait, Garrett, can we see yours?
It, I,
Can we, this is a Gareth Garrett moment.
this is where the H comes in.
This is where the H comes in. Well, that's Packers. Oh no, that's it. Oh yeah,
this is my cat.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I recognize
you're directly in front of the mic.
Yeah.
Go the other way.
I recognize.
Produce the moment.
There you go.
I recognize that they're.
That's the same tattoo.
I recognize. It seems like I'm in a glass house with a handful of stones.
I would like to disclose something. I have a tattoo of a goat on my lower back. Can we
so
see
Jake,
it? Yeah. Yeah. Hold on,
Jake. Hold you're on. The weirdo.
I'm the guy. I'm the weirdo.
You're the weirdo.
Hold on. Let's see Josh's.
Hold on. I got
by the way.
Well, now this is the fit check you
anything,
wanted here.
Anything,
Caitlin
anything,
grabbed her phone.
Okay. Anything to see.
Oh, our show just changed.
I'll show it to Gareth first. So there's.
Jesus, Josh.
Yeah.
Josh, it's great.
Yeah, thank you.
Oh, my God.
it rides a lot lower near the butt crack.
Though. Incredible.
I mean, you have a goat stamp.
I sure
I honestly just felt like I was at a strip club when you stood up with your body taking those pants off.
You didn't feel that when I lifted my t-shirt a little bit?
No, I felt like I was at like an AA meeting.
Felt like you're.
I was. He's like, well, at that point, I lost my
you're
family.
At a Chili's and the waiter needs an extra dollar on the tip.
Exactly.
Hey, let me show you my arm.
I went from the back room of Chili's to like
the champagne room.
Wiggly snakes. And I liked Wiggly Snakes
you
a lot
tipped 200
more.
In the champagne room.
Hell
anything
yes.
can happen. Anything
well,
can happen.
We were
that's
talking before. You are nicely ripped up, Josh.
So before we get to this raccoon for a second, because there's just a lot that's happened in the last 3 minutes.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Can you describe that tattoo and what that means to you?
Yes. Yeah, so this tattoo is actually for charity. Mm-hmm. A charity called No Kid Hungry. A baby goat is called a kid.
Yeah. No, and, I don't know Kid Hungry. Yeah.
Yeah. They do great work. Ending childhood food insecurity is a big important cause to me. I had a terrible mustache at some point, and the fans raised $5,000 for me to shave it, but we had a whole two-week campaign going, and that goal was out in 5 minutes. So I said, 30 grand, and I'll get a lower back tattoo.
No
And
way.
So mine was, you know, 300,000 meals for underserved kids. Gareth, what's your story?
So mine is actually very simple. It's called Cats for Hats, and there's a lot of kids out there who don't have, and I know we're laughing, but there's a lot of kids in some countries that don't have access to clean hats, and
you're
through,
you're
please
an
stop,
idiot.
Please stop, through this campaign, and I'm going to talk into this camera, through this campaign, I got a tattoo, and I was able to give 400 children hats, brimmed hats. meshed hats.
You are
and
the stupidest
we're both,
person.
We're both.
I have
we're both. We're both.
He's talking about feeding hungry kids. You're talking about putting.
Jake, here's what's so Western
well,
about
meshed hats. Meshed hats. He said. Yes.
Here's what's so Western about your take. Okay, because you're just so used to being able to block the sun out. A lot of these kids cannot do
How
that.
How about the back of their necks?
They could turn it around, like you know, Ashton Kutcher style.
So Garrett, we found out why Josh and Gareth got their tats. Your raccoon, which is massive.
Mm.
You like Pokemon, but you're not. You're telling me that's on your left arm, and you don't identify as a big raccoon guy.
Not really. Like I don't dislike raccoons. Like I said,
no.
Like,
I but we're not. Like you didn't them. Get an alligator. You got Josh, a raccoon. You're the raccoon guy for life. Man.
Josh. Josh and I at least
a story.
That we have a story. There's a rationale that you don't. The idea of you getting this ink
is wild.
You understand? I'm not even. We're not even trying to be, like. This is just a crazy leap
yes.
as far as like. Now you want to tell her you're not into raccoons. Mm. I mean, I would worry that she would be like, "Are you okay?"
She will.
Yeah.
So, Garrett, as your friend, which is what we are, Josh said it earlier. You're a raccoon guy forever.
I could pitch in the direction of trying to solve this, but I do agree. You have branded, physically branded yourself now.
Yeah, and also Garrett. When you look at, like, when you get a big tattoo like that, right? So raccoons, for at least what I know about them, they live in the cities.
Trash pandas.
They're trash pandas. they go around. Yeah. They eat people's trash. They're like little bears. They're very smart. They're feisty.
Adorable at times, too.
And in certain suburban areas, they get fat. They're little
Rabbit.
Fat garbage people,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's what you're kind of saying is your thing. It's like getting a tattoo of a big rat. And then it's not bad, but people are going to inherently go like, oh, you love, you're a raccoon guy, which says something about your personality. For example, there's a what looks like a spork.
Mm, correct.
So I'm going to assume you really care a lot about food and or eating.
Correct.
If I see a fucking huge raccoon, Gareth, the joke is that, but the reality is that's your cat.
Yeah.
And your cat's your family, and you love Jose.
Thank you.
The other one is a logo of a team that you care about.
Keep going.
Agreed.
Just keep moving, because you're doing it in a great way.
I got nasty for no reason.
No, you haven't yet, which is shocking.
Thank you. But you, Garrett, I don't see this as any other path, but you're a goddamn raccoon guy.
Well can I say,
Josh, please.
Some stories start at the beginning, right? I wanted to raise money for charity, ergo I got a tattoo. I think you can write some stories starting at the end. Let's take this tattoo.
Yes, I love this.
Now you retrofit a charitable cause into that tattoo. You're now raising emotional support raccoons for elderly inner city citizens.
But it does. I love this. I love the charity. It doesn't have to be charity, but I do love the idea of creating a story that then goes with your tattoo.
It should be charity, to be clear. and not for any sort of like philanthropic thing, but you can get a pass for any tattoo.
You're totally right.
And for any personality flaw, if it's for charity.
You're not wrong.
You got to start. And I mean, you got to start like an S Corp or what are they called? Like a GOC3 or something. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Well, there was about 2 years on Shark Tank where every bad pitch just said at the end, and 5% goes to charity.
Yeah,
exactly.
And then one of the sharks would go, I'm interested.
It was also, it was either that or you talked about someone who passed and got teary-eyed and then you'd get a deal.
And then, so Garrett, back to you for a second. So, your question today is not, how do I justify having this huge raccoon tattoo?
No.
Your question today is, how do you tell your girlfriend of 10 months that you don't like raccoons that much?
It really, it's...
But Garf, we have to go to his question. Is that
I agree.
Garrett, or have we switched it?
Garrett, that's what we're trying to solve, right? How do we tell your girlfriend that...
Right.
Right. I think Josh is right as far as, like, if you want to have a great tattoo story, if you can get there, is I didn't even want this fucking thing.
Right. But
that's
this is,
one.
But hold but on, we got to go back to the premise.
Yes. So let's, here's what I would say. Okay. Wild. I would suggest that you have now peaked. You have climbed Mount Raccoon.
Yeah.
You're at the top. You've planted your flag in Raccoon Mountain. And there is no land left to conquer. And you could tell her that after that, after the apex reach, you now feel like you don't want any more raccoon stuff. Since you have kind of you've peaked here. That might be an angle.
Josh, do you have any instinct of how Garrett can now, after 10 months, tell a woman you like this woman, right?
I do. Yeah.
You don't want to break up with her.
Can't.
No. Definitely a future there.
Okay. So, Josh, if you're Garrett's buddy, you now have the setup. He wants to kind of curb this raccoon stuff. Do you have any thoughts or advice of how he could do this?
If there are a couple core tenets in relationships, one, honesty.
Honesty is number one.
Two, lying almost constantly, right? Like you should, because hear me out. That's what you've been doing. That's what Garrett's been doing. And that's why he's actually afraid of telling his partner, right? It's because he's been living with this for months and months and months, letting it build. And so now by admitting there is a tacit, agreement that, hey, I've been lying to your face.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of agree with your sentiment that you need to start titrating down. You need to start going, hey, I was so into raccoons, and now I have physically purged this by getting it scarred onto my body, and now I'm into platypuses. Get ready for some platypus finger puppets, baby.
No,
John. Switch.
His other arm can't have another weird animal.
Yeah.
Garrett, I got to give you some in-closing advice, because this is as weird of a call as we've had in a while. You got a tattoo of a raccoon. You can't go back and say, yeah, I kind of liked raccoons, but you've gone really far with it and got me gifts forever, and they're not a big passion. You got a huge raccoon on your arm, man. It's a big passion. Or you're telling her you're a maniac. So it's either you say to this woman, I like you, I'm a total maniac, get used to me making weird decisions for the rest of our relationship, such as you say to her, I've always wanted to be a dad. You have a kid, the kid's 10 months old, and you go, I got to be honest, I've never wanted kids.
I want a vasectomy.
Yeah, you're just giving such mixed messages that I think you have to double down on being a raccoon man.
If you were to come off just super jokey on it, it's like, oh my God, it's crazy. I don't even like raccoons like that. But like, wow,
but
totally in character
look
for me.
At the arm.
I'm a man with two lower back tattoos. My fiance watched me get one of them. It's of another man's face inside this man's kitchen after making chicken parmesan. Right. Should have gotten infected. It didn't. I went into the water at the Jersey Shore afterwards. There was so much drinking.
Okay, that makes
straight
sense.
Straight gin, so too. So but I'm the whimsical weirdo, so and my fiance saying, signed up
yeah,
for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're saying this is all just a bit. It's an arm bit. Now
it,
pull out.
It's mm-hmm. If it were on your foot, one thing. It's the real estate. The real estate for me is where it has taken an insane turn. Here would be my closing Hail Mary pitch. What you could do is the next time that you get the raccoon gift, you can then go, this is great. I think saying it's your love language gift, that's, I love that that's what you do. I really appreciate it. I just got to say, I have enough raccoon stuff for our relationship. I have the tattoo. I love it. But I think I don't have any more room for raccoon stuff.
Or you say you got attacked by a raccoon.
Okay. Lying. Or we go the
second,
option where you
come double back.
Or we go the psycho route, which is always an option.
Yes.
You go out one night to take the trash. You take a blade. You cut your hand, and you come back in, and you say you just saw a red-eyed raccoon out there. It bit you, and you're done with the breed.
So Garrett, what do you think you're going to do here, bud? You could either do Mount Raccoon. You've got that idea is you've gotten so much raccoon stuff that now you're full. You could do the slow reveal. You could double down on it, or you could pretend you were attacked by a raccoon and now you hate raccoons.
He has to get a rabies shot though to really sell it.
But you could do that without her.
Can I just say it's coming in real late in the game, but I'm falling in love with the last one.
Well, you used to be the guy doing the bad ideas.
I know.
Now it's become me.
And I'm
recently.
Loving it. I'm loving it.
All right. So, Garrett, where are we at here, pal?
I sort of like the Mount Raccoon. Like, okay. I sort of peaked with this and then let her know, like, we can sort of cool down with this raccoon.
Okay. Yeah. So, do us a favor before we go. Can you pitch three things really fast? And we got to go. Three things you like that could take over the raccoon obsession from her.
All right. Being outside.
Nature.
Raccoons.
Raccoons.
We're from Colorado. Love Colorado.
Colorado. And, okay. Three.
Raccoons.
Raccoons.
And Pokemon.
Raccoons. Those are all raccoon adjacent.
Buddy. Yeah,
they all lead back to raccoons.
You're a raccoon right, guy.
You know what? Sometimes it's good to take a walk around and look at other houses to know you love yours.
Yeah. It's like, what are things you like?
Raccoon.
It's like nature, garbage bins, trash, being
rabies.
A mini bear, rabies, claws
nightlife,
that really hurt.
Nocturnal beings.
Being in a pack, being able to stand on 2 feet, hating water. You're a raccoon guy,
claws.
Garrett. So how about this? Tell her you're getting obsessed with Colorado, and maybe she can start getting you like a Colorado mug, Colorado shirts. But that's going to lead back to, in Colorado, there's a lot of nature.
By the way,
and you're going to start getting Colorado
or
raccoons.
Or we're going to talk to you in 18 months, and you're going to have the state of Colorado tattooed on your chest.
With a raccoon in
it. With a raccoon in it.
Eating trash.
You're right.
Garrett, we wish you all the best, man. Thank you for the call, buddy.
Good luck.
Thanks, guys.
Wow.
Well, let's be honest. That one wasn't helpful.
Wow.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. With Philo, you could stop overpaying for cable and switch to Philo. So what is Philo, Garf? I'll tell you. It's
Talk
the
to me.
Best way to watch more than 70 of your favorite channels and save big on your monthly bills. Why don't you tell these nice people some value props?
Well, Philo has shows, has movies, yep. Live TV, and for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. So there's no contracts, no commitments, no hassles, just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of
a
show.
Let me pitch you a show they got.
What?
The Challenge.
Oh, Jake, don't.
The Challenge.
Jake, don't. Jake,
now, let me pitch you something that you might not be as excited about, but others might. Friends.
I'll tell you what I am excited about.
Golden Girls.
Yes. Without question.
Known as
one of
one
the
best,
best pilots
ever
yes,
written.
Best pilots ever made in TV.
A
history.
Show I grew up that loving, Martin.
Oh, don't even. That was truly. So look, if you can't get enough of TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo, like we said, has more than 70 channels, BET, MTV, AMC. You've got a free 7-day trial. So listen, Jake, may I?
Please.
All right. Sign up today at philo.tv/GilSentMe. That's philo.tv/GilSentMe to get 50% off your first month. Gil Buchanan, really just got him on the periphery.
This episode is brought to you by a company that we both use a lot.
Yes.
And that is DoorDash. Yes.
DoorDash. Very helpful.
It's a lifesaver.
It is.
It's a lifesaver at home.
Yeah, with kids, I'm sure. I'm my own kid.
I'm a big
But hotel DoorDash. Life. Ugh. A DoorDash comes in very handy.
Hotel Life DoorDash has changed because you don't have to order from downstairs.
No.
And you don't have to leave the room.
No.
When I realized you could do it in a hotel and get it in the lobby.
Yes. Yeah. Way better.
Significant change.
Yes.
So DoorDash is something we are very excited about. And we have a Mother's Day special with DoorDash. So get all your Mother's Day's gifts in one place. Get 50% off on your next order, up to $15 when you spend $15 or more on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code GILSENTME. So if you're going to do it, which you're going to do it, you got to get your mom something, use DoorDash and use this code GILSENTME. All money goes to Gilly Bean, and
that's
he
right,
needs.
Jake.
Hey, there he is.
Hey, that's right. Sorry about that, everyone. I'm going to be Gil Buchanan, ones and twos, 68 and Balmy. I will be sending Rita, my lovely mother, 94 years old, a bunch of flowers from DoorDash this.
And what's the code you're going to use?
Well, you're going to use Gil Sent Me because God bless you. I did. Gil Sent Me.
So remember, 50% off if you use the code Gil Sent Me to buy your mother flowers, some sort of convenience or grocery or retail. Now you can also use DoorDash for any meal. That is DoorDash.com/GilSentMe. Terms apply.
Hello?
Hi there. Welcome to We're Here to Help, America's number one podcast. Don't look it up. You've got some killers today. You got Jake Johnson, Gareth Reynolds, and we have the wildly popular Mythical Kitchen host, Josh Shear, is here with us today. Also, author of The Mythical Cookbook.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Amazing.
That's the right reaction. Now, who are you and what have you written and how are you on YouTube and where are you calling from?
How are you on YouTube?
No YouTube presence.
Okay.
Fair.
It's for whenever you want to cut the call, yeah. Kevin, we're good.
Hey, let's be honest. Neither do we.
Okay. What's your name?
Lauren.
Hi. Nice to meet you. How old are you? Where are you calling from?
I'm 34 and calling from New York City.
Okay. Nice.
What part of New York City?
Upper East Side.
Cross Street.
East Side, yeah. My aunt used to live on 68th and 2nd.
Apartment number?
It's a nice neighborhood up there. Okay. Lauren, floor is yours. What can we help you with today?
So I would love your advice on if I should and how to confront a guy I have inadvertently been following across the country for 12 years.
What?
These are back-to-back wild calls.
Okay. We are.
Lauren.
We will not chronologically use these calls, but.
Wait, we might.
Josh.
We might. Now, let me ask you a question. Does he have a raccoon tattoo?
Josh, please.
Anytime somebody uses an adverb, I realize, like inadvertently, I always immediately question it. I don't know if that means that I'm not a trusting person.
No.
You just don't love it.
That's the sticky word for me.
Yeah, I don't trust anyone who knows what an adverb is. I'll be honest.
I don't trust anyone who knows what a verb is. So, Lauren, explain what this means. You have been following around a guy across the country?
Yes.
Yeah.
Break this down. Yeah. I don't get it.
Totally unintentional. So I first met him, we'll call him Jerry, in college. We were both chemistry majors.
Cool.
Big school, but overall a small group of us.
Okay. So big university, but the chemistry department was small.
Yes.
So you knew Jerry. Jerry knows Lauren.
We are in a lot of classes together.
Okay.
We're friendly, but not friends.
Okay.
And it's hard, like everyone knows each other, but that's the only place I really knew him from was from those classes.
Okay.
We graduate in 2012. He goes wherever. I have no idea. Okay. And then I move back to Minnesota, where I'm from, where I'm teaching for a few years. Then eventually I start medical school.
Okay.
So it's been now a 7-year time period.
Okay.
Now I've moved to Texas for some additional medical training, and Jerry is there. He's in the residency program.
Okay. And when you guys see each other, is it excitement? Is it like, Jerry, Lauren?
No, we don't acknowledge each other.
Ooh, wait, okay, not why ideal. Did you say you're, didn't you say New York City?
We're getting there.
Okay.
This is medical school in Texas.
Okay.
Yeah. All right.
So you guys see each other and you don't acknowledge each other?
Strange.
No. Well, we...
Does he have a raccoon tattoo?
No.
Well, now we have to.
Are you in love with it? Let me tell you, he's not into raccoons.
Jake hit his head.
Previous caller. Okay, so you guys see each other. It'll make more sense when you hear the episode.
I think
I had a really wild thing with raccoons.
We're not over.
Sounds
it.
Like a real okay. Jerry. Yeah. So you guys see each other. You don't say hi, even though you went to college together in a small group, and now you're both in Texas.
Yes.
Okay. If you called then, I would have advice for you. Say hi.
Yeah.
Well, I have a habit of recognizing people, and then they don't know me.
Respect.
And so it's very awkward where, like, I'll know that we've met, but then they forget. And okay. So
Can I ask a quick question? Hi, this is Josh. I mostly make meatballs for a living, but now I'm here. Are you positive that they don't recognize you, or is that something?
Quick pause. That's Gareth's intro. So you just don't.
Wait, you filmed it?
Hey, this is Gareth. I mostly make meatballs for a living. That's how he opens every one of his stand-up sets.
How much are you selling those meatballs for, though?
Well,
you
know, I tell people during
Josh,
the show.
Josh, your food's delicious. Gareth is disgusting.
It's actually a charity that I got a tattoo for.
Meatball hats?
It's
you put hats on meatballs?
Do you know some people, not in the Western world like you show this down here, they do not have access to fresh meatballs.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, you Italian.
Previous caller. Can I ask you, is that something that you're positive about, that you mostly recognize people and they do not mostly recognize you? Do you have tangible proof of that?
Yes.
All right. Okay. Well,
case closed. Well, there you go.
Hey, everybody, let's close up the courtroom. Right. We're all leaving early.
No further questions.
So, Lauren, you guys see each other in Texas. You don't say hi. Then what?
Then, so he had been there before. So he leaves that year to do a fellowship somewhere else. I don't know.
Okay.
I spent another 4 years in Texas.
Okay.
Now this year, I've moved to New York to start a fellowship.
Okay.
I'm a first day orientation. Mm. I'm in line, turning in paperwork, and Jerry is there in front of me in line.
Do you guys say hi?
No.
Okay.
Jesus Christ.
So
this is when Harry met Sally.
What is...
You guys are going to end up together.
I think... seriously, I don't... If this... Yeah. Like, you should... Say hi to him because you might be meant for each. Are you single?
I am.
Is he single?
Of course he is.
I don't know.
This is a goddamn romantic comedy. Does he wear like a cool kind of 70s whitish sweater?
Yeah.
And does he look like Billy Crystal? And does he have like anger issues? And he's a know-it-all, but you're opposite.
Don't go out to lunch with him. Okay.
What is your question?
So exactly, should I say hi to him, or should I just like acknowledge that maybe he has forgotten all about me, doesn't know who I am, and leave it at that? Or if I do say hi to him, how do I say hi? Yes. I guess without seeming like a psycho, that like I've realized we've had this long connection.
And your insecurity is you're gonna go, "Hi, Jerry, we have this thing," and he goes, "I've never seen you in my life."
I don't know
life.
Who you are.
And you're going to go,
like, "Who are
we
you?"
We literally
my
went to college.
Hank.
We were literally in Texas, and we're here. And he's going to go, "I swear to God, I don't think I've ever seen you in my life." Is that the fear
I'm
of this,
dead.
Lauren?
That's it, exactly.
Okay, now it makes sense. So it's
I'm with you. Like, is this a cosmic that the universe is telling
understand.
Us that we should be together?
So this boils down to, and Lauren, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. How do you take the chance and get over your fears and say to somebody, "We've literally been in three states together and I'm insecure.
We've had the same life."
That you've never even noticed me. Josh, go ahead.
Well, do you have to necessarily say the three states thing? Because what you could do is you start a little slow. Go, "Hey, you look a little familiar. Did you go to big university with small intimate chemistry department back in 2012? You could start there.
Yeah, I think that's probably the best version of it. And I think you do. I think you just say hi because... with these situations, a lot of times someone doesn't know, and other times people are just like, "I don't want to bother."
You know what
but
I
it's
think?
It's never a problem.
What is the university you went to? Can you say it? You feel comfortable?
NYU.
My instinct on this is that Jerry is calling another advice podcast. Yeah. Asking about the same thing.
What
the
he should do with
much
his
less
tattoo.
Their guest has a much less rockin' bod. You know?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
I will say,
Josh, without question.
Yeah.
This happens to me. I think the gym is a microcosm of life, which is something that people who look like me tend to say.
Sure.
But
me too. In that you never go. I think so too.
You said the gin? Yeah. I agree.
But it is if you drink too much of it, you pass out.
I drink a bunch of gin. I recognize everybody. Yeah.
There is a crew of about 15 guys that I dap up every day, and I'll call them Babyface because you taught me to call them Babyface.
You are doing it?
And they call me handsome, and we dap each other up. We don't know each other's names until you ask one to spot you about 9 months in, and then you have to break the ice and go, hey, I know we see each other every day. We've never exchanged names. What's the name? And it's never weird. You got to fully just break down your own barriers. When you make yourself vulnerable, you give others license to do the same. There's power in that.
It's truth.
I think that's nice. So, Lauren, I think we're all probably going to end on the same advice, and that is you got to bite the bullet and tell that squatter whose legs your head is right in between, I don't know your name, but I do know you. And so what I would do is walk up to him next time you see him and go, hey, Jerry, how have you been since college? Did you like Texas? And if he looks at you strange, well, I have bad news for you. You're a strange lady then.
I'm gonna eliminate the middle. Go ahead. That does take on
okay
this
to be
vibe
a strange
of
lady.
I've been following you.
Yes. Okay.
I think you just go like this. I think it's more of the Josh vibe. You just go, hey, are you Jerry? I think we went to college together.
Right.
See what he says. Go from there.
Mm-hmm. What do you think of that, Lauren? Just a straight
later
up.
Later that night, you guys are going to be smoking cigarettes after coitus.
What do you think of the, hey, are you Jerry routine?
I think that sounds good. It gives me an out. He's like, I don't know. He's like, oh, I must be thinking of someone else. And then I can book it and run. But if he remembers, then that works out.
I got to say, I don't love it.
What, you think just live your life?
No. Lauren, I'm going to double down. I think
you want the Texas.
Here's what I want you to do. I want you to think of some eccentric professor from back in the day. Let's call him Mr. Walton.
Okay.
And I want you to walk up to Jerry next time you see him in line and from behind go, it's kind of a Mr. Walton sweater. And he turns back and goes, huh? And you go, it just is, Jerry. And then he looks at you and he'll know what you're talking about. And he'll go, look, you're not wrong. And now, if it's meant to be, you guys are deep in the story. If it's not, then he looks at you like you're crazy and he goes, excuse me? And you go, you're excused. Double down into the weirdness, do a 180 and walk away.
I like that just because we might be tempting. This might be the fates trying to put you together. So let's have
that's
a strong
what I mean.
Opener.
So don't start. If this is When Harry Met Sally, that movie doesn't start with Jerry. It starts with
Harry.
Yes. But Lauren, you need to be, I think you have to double down on the aggressive start. You have something in common from way back in the day.
Yeah.
You know who this fucking guy is, and guess what? He knows who you are.
Yeah.
You know each other. Yeah. And for some reason, you're not acknowledging. You want to know why? He's probably a shy chemistry guy.
Yeah.
I mean, and I can't wait to see if you two have chemistry.
Don't laugh.
God,
please.
Damn it. He's good, though. You got to admit he's good.
He cooks meatballs for a living.
He sure does.
Oh, you got to cook them?
He gives
I got to make a phone call. I call the podcast. Hey, I've been giving people raw meatballs for 3 years at comedy shows.
Hey, Lauren, what do you think about going aggressive and the next time you see him having a callback and almost saying it in his ear from behind? Just one of those.
Jake, don't push it.
I'd say cut the almost out of that equation there, brother.
Same with me.
Why don't you just put your pinky up his butt?
No, but here, I make meatballs. So here's what I mean by that, Lauren.
I just made a meatball.
Here's what I'm looking for, and tell me if I'm out of line here. I'm looking for a moment, if I'm Jerry, and I know Lauren, I remember her. I saw her in Texas. She didn't say hi. I didn't say hi. I don't want to weird her out. Fuck, now we're both in New York. We're in this small community. I don't know how to say hi. I'm a little bit of a shy guy. I do chemistry. I don't know. I'm just going to do my thing. Maybe she doesn't notice me. Why would a beautiful woman like Lauren, who's interesting and smart and a chemist, we have so much in common, why would she want something to do with middle old me? I'm little old Jerry the geek.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, I'm sitting there and I hear, you're looking a lot like Mr. Walton. And I turn and she's got the confidence to lean out. You know what I'm doing when I turn back? In my dreams. Because Mr. Walton had the best style. And then you have a laugh. And right away, you say, because now you're the alpha dog, Lauren, let's go eat some raw meatballs.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the last part's crazy. But I
but
like it.
But you know
it.
What I'm
yeah,
saying.
Yeah, I like it. Josh, cosign?
Yeah, so they actually have this raw ground beef sandwich in Wisconsin. They call it a tiger meat sandwich.
Every year, the paper's like, don't eat those.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm going to tell you should. Lauren, I know you didn't ask for advice on that, but I'm giving it to you. You just should. It's delicious. you know, all food comes with risk.
Yeah, that's true.
But what do you think about this idea?
Only Wisconsin is that a good
that the title of this one is obviously now all food comes with risk, Kevin. And the idea is he is a raw meat sandwich and it takes a risk to see, but if you eat it, it might be delicious. We're not going to give you advice on this because you didn't call in for us to say, I don't know, let it go. Something in you wants to push this. Mm. You're looking for someone to kick you in the ass and say, go for it.
It's
That's
true.
Why you called. Am I wrong, Lauren?
You're not wrong.
Okay.
No, I think you're right. I think if I do it, I need to commit and say, hey, this may be odd, but yeah, we've known each other for all these different scenarios.
So what's something, Lauren, besides, hey, we've known each other? Because then what you're doing to him is he has to do that fake thing where he goes like, do we? Oh, yeah. Lauren, he knows who you are.
Mm.
So what's a way to give him an easy N? What is something about those NYU days that everybody in that community knows?
It's going to make me sound really geeky, too, but we took a physical chemistry course. And there's this annoying problem called particle in a box that you could reference.
Ooh, this is perfect. So Jesus how would that Christ. Reference go?
Oh, God. I don't know.
He's in line. You're in line. You're behind him. I would pitch on this, and I would have Gareth and Josh do it. Josh might be. I know Gareth doesn't understand particle in a box.
Of course I do.
He's just going to go, like, dick in a box.
Come on.
No, I was also going to do that.
Thank just God.
And I
say
all guys.
That's
all,
God. By the way, I said that's literally all I had.
That's all I had.
Wait, is this about it's the Heisenberg uncertainty principle?
Whoa, what are you doing, an adverb?
What?
Is that another adverb?
You inadvertently blew my mind.
No, there's a thing where the particle, you never know where it is, right? And it's like shifting. It's like the uncertainty principle. Am I lying?
Is this right?
That's exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, wait, hold on. So explain that again, because this is the story of you and Jerry.
The thing about Heisenberg, don't ask where his parents went after 1940s. No, I know nothing about I know nothing about this.
Lord, will you describe to us what a particle in the box means?
Exactly. It's a sense where the particle is moving rapidly in the box. It's difficult to know its position.
Okay, so you're in line.
Yep.
You say, did you just see that rat? You go, ew, rat. He looks and goes, huh? And you go like this. It's like a particle in a box.
Or you go like this. Or you go like
that's
this.
Right.
You know, Jerry, sometimes I feel like you're a particle in a box because I never know where you're going to be, but I always know I'm going to be there. It's
ooh,
me.
That's fun.
From college.
Or you
and
could
from
say,
Texas.
Hey, Jerry, that thing in between your legs is a particle in a box.
All right. We want to thanks, Kleenex.
Lauren. What do you think about something in the zone? Josh, you got something?
I just like Gareth's pinky pitch from earlier. Right?
What's the pinky
the pinky up the butt?
I don't know.
So, Lauren, here's what we got.
I put a particle in your box, Jerry.
There you go.
Bingo.
So here's what we're saying, Lauren. We're saying we need you to be the aggressor. You saw the way our brains work when we did anything intelligent on this show about particle in a box. Gareth and I are instantly talking about sticking fingers in butts and dicks because we're idiots.
Yep.
You're smarter, and I think you should go smarter, but I think you should lead in with a reference. And if he looks at you, and you'll know, and he's got squirrel eyes, then you're just a weird lady in New York who talked about something weird.
And the problem is done. The problem, to Jake's point,
yes.
You want closure on this to some extent. Then you're done with it.
But don't go in with an appetizer. Go in with raw meatballs. I want the whole meal here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Do we have your word you're going to do it?
You do.
Okay.
We
so
want the
and then I think.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll follow up once we connect.
And if you get married, Jake and I will come. Josh will too.
Mm-hmm. I'll make the meatballs.
Yeah.
But so, Lauren, on your word, the next time you see him, no matter how bad your stomach ache is, and no matter how much you say in that moment, just a stupid podcast. I'm not even doing it.
They're
you're
idiots.
Giving your
they don't
word
even know what an adverb
that
is.
You're doing it.
Yeah.
And
I'm
you're not going to just go, hi, do you remember me?
Jerry!
You're going to lead out with something
Texas.
Aggressive and weird, Lauren.
Go for it.
And you're going to feel uncomfortable and it might come off wrong.
Guts get glory.
But you are either going to win big or you're going to lose big. But the beauty of New York, 15% of New York are just weirdos walking by you saying, like, particle in the box. And you go, like, shut up.
Jesus. Sir, this is poop.
Get away from me. I'm trying to play chess in the park.
I got particle in a box.
I'm going to put my finger in your butt. Raw meatballs.
I'll sell you a particle in a box for $6.
So, Lauren, are you going hard on this?
I'm going hard.
I
Thank
love
you.
It. Please follow up. This is going to be a great, this is going to be the first true romantic comedy
yep.
of our podcast.
Yep. Yeah, we'll find out if you guys really do have chemistry.
You've already done that joke.
I did. Well, we got
that's
the second
not the
Kevin,
out.
We got a second option if we
that's
want
not the out.
Title.
You know what I do know for sure? The three of us have chemistry. There's our
we'll
out.
Be right back.
Thanks, Lauren.
Thank you.
This episode is brought to you by Greenlight.
That's right, Jake. When you're a parent, as you are, you'll know you'll have your fair share of big talks with your kids. I've offered to do a number of those with your kids. You've always rejected them. One of those big talks should involve money, and Greenlight can help with that. So Greenlight is a debit card and a money app made for families. You can send your kids instant money, transfer, get real-time notifications, spending, all that. It's a way to customize your family's needs and connect them with the allowance
you know,
to reward your kids
just
for a job done well.
This actually just happened. My daughter lost another tooth.
Oh boy.
And wanted a raise.
What?
She said, I think I should get a little bit more for this tooth. And I go, you're asking for a raise? And she goes, I think so. And I go, no, you don't get a raise for losing a tooth. But it made me think of, I want to go back to this idea of you have jobs,
yes.
The jobs lead to this money.
Yes.
And so I like Greenlight.
She's such a, that is your daughter.
Yeah,
I mean, 100% being able to be like, I deserve a raise. So yes, yeah, so this is a great way to sort of build the financial literacy
Smart.
Of your children. Millions of parents and kids use Greenlight and learn how to make it responsible financial choice. So should we bring in Gil or whatever? Yeah, we don't need him. Okay, so stop putting off the money talk and start putting your kids on the right path. Sign up for Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/Gil sent me. Boy, that's going to hurt him. That's greenlight.com/Gil sent me.
Hold on. Greenlight bring him out.
Well, you think just because you're using the promo code, I got to come out? That's not how this works, Jake. Am I in or am I out?
You're in, baby.
Sign up for the Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/Gil sent me. That's right, Gil. GIL. Don't forget about me. I don't live in the basement. That's greenlight.com/Gil sent me to try Greenlight for free. Greenlight.com/Gil sent me.
This episode is brought to you by Babbel.
Jake, you know what Babbel is. Babbel, a language app, helps you learn foreign languages. 10-minute lessons,
yes.
Handcrafted by over 200 language experts to help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. And it's designed by real people for real conversations.
And I'll tell you what I like about the Babbel as opposed to just trying to learn the language on your own is the speech recognition technology.
Which is crazy.
Which is crazy.
Yes.
Because it helps you figure out the accent, because it's one thing to learn the words of another language, but if you sound like an utter maniac and you sound like a weird robot, no one's going to buy it. But if you can actually learn accents to where you're speaking the language, one of the things we had said before, but what I really liked is studies from Yale, Michigan State, and others continue to prove that Babbel is better.
This is the craziest.
This is crazy. They found that using Babbel for 15 hours on your own, sitting on your couch, drinking a beer, is equivalent to a full semester at college.
So here's a special deal for our listeners. Right now, you can get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription, but only for our listeners at babbel.com/HTH. Get up to 60% off at babbel.com/HTH, spelled BABBEL.com/HTH. Rules and restrictions may apply. Zut alors!
Before we get rid of you, Josh, first of all, thank you for doing it.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks for having me, man. It's incredible.
Can you? It's ridiculous.
We're out here changing lives.
Yeah.
Just the three of us, just like it's always been.
Yeah, no. We sure are. The raccoon guy's life, we really did change.
I will say, both of those were pretty wild calls.
Yes.
Yes.
Was that
for
intentional, Kevman?
I swapped the second one to be more tame.
You did? Okay.
Well,
interested.
Okay. Interesting. Mm-hmm.
It felt like a theme, because with each guest, there'll be like slightly different theme, because Kevin picks them. The theme you got were, these are a little bit wild.
Raccoon small kind. Small wild, though.
Yeah, small wild.
I'm going to spoil something, but the second call initially was someone wanting to gift a crow to her husband. And I was like,
buddy,
this one fits more. So
I hope we do that one.
So, Josh, when I did your show, which I really enjoyed, you told me a little bit about your backstory and how you got into cooking. And how you got into having a massive YouTube show. Could you tell Gareth and our group your kind of journey into
what you're doing, because it's a wild show, and it's a huge win for you that has ended up now with a cookbook that, as you've said, is doing good.
Yeah,
number one New York Times.
Crazy.
Is that true?
It is true. We beat Deion Sanders, which was huge.
Wow. Whoa!
And I would like to challenge Deion to a 40-yard dash backwards.
I think you will win.
I think he just had issues with his foot, Josh.
That's a perfect time. Strike while the iron's hot.
I could challenge Deion.
By the way, either one of these I want to see. If you get yours, please invite Jake.
But Josh, will you walk us through a little bit about your journey, because I find it fascinating.
Sure, sure, sure. So, you know, I grew up watching Food Network constantly. I was a total latchkey kid, single dad, just lived with a brother. And by the time I was 11 years old, I really took an interest in Food Network. And my dad was like, if you cook family dinners every single night, that'll be your only chore. He's like, here's a grocery budget. Walk across the street to the Ralph's. You're buying groceries. You're keeping a budget. You're cooking dinner.
And how old are you at this time?
I was like 11 years old. My brother.
And this is out here?
This is out here, Orange County. Yeah, uh-huh. Like Mission Viejo area, for anybody that knows it. And, you know, my dad like worked late at night. And to his credit, he would clean the toilets. He would do all my chores.
Wow.
And I was out there just rolling out gnocchi as a little 11-year-old. Just being like... This is what it is.
And so you just then said, like, I think I can do this. So the first meals weren't great.
No, the first meals were terrible.
But then
you started
forming a passion.
I did. And then I got to college. I actually went to school on a track and field scholarship.
Yeah, I remember.
Shot put and discus, which explains, I mentioned I was 80 pounds heavier.
Yeah.
Just, you know, you're also eating 7,000 calories a day. And so you sort of get triple the cooking practice.
Right.
You're just up in those numbers. Yeah. It's about reps. But then when I was 19, my dad actually passed away. And which is part of how I started the show Last Meals, because I'm obsessed with the concept of death. And I'm the person that if somebody's asking for basic relationship advice, I'm like, well, let's get down to the actual issue. You're not worried about the raccoons. You're worried about the fact that you're afraid that you can never be honest with a partner. And then one day you're going to die unfulfilled. I always like take it to that level and try and get down to the meat of it. But I also love meatballs. And so I was like, how do I combine those two things?
It's amazing.
Yeah, because I watched my dad sort of pass away without like a real hobby or passion. You know?
Interesting.
And that was something that affected me so hard, because we didn't grow up with any money. And so I was always like, let's get a government job. I was going to work for the CIA, whatever that means. And instead, I started a food blog called culinarybrodown.com. And then that sort of blew up, and I just kept parlaying.
But so what happened with that? So that when you say that blew up, you started getting views, people were starting to pay attention. You started feeling like, oh, shit's different.
Yeah, it
was that a blog or was that that was video?
No, straight up blog. I was a writer, and I thought I was going to be a writer my whole life. I had never been on camera. I had no interest.
Wow.
But I actually got a literary agent while I was a junior in college.
Wow.
21 years old. My blog got shortlisted for an award from Sever Magazine. And this literary agent hit me up and said, I know you're still in school, but when you graduate, keep in contact, because you really have the goods here. And then I dropped out of school immediately because it was hard.
Yeah.
After my track and field eligibility ran up. And then I worked on a book proposal. I was writing for magazines. I had like a column for a couple years with Maxim magazine.
Oh, wow.
Where I just wrote about food, and eventually wrote a book called The Culinary Brodown Cookbook. Very Tucker Max meets Anthony Bourdain, but hopefully not as much of a piece of crap as, you know, the first one. he's probably fine.
Yeah.
But anyways, I eventually sent a copy of that cookbook to Rhett and Link over at Mythical Entertainment.
And you just did that?
Wow.
Cold.
Pretty much. I mean, it's kind of, you know, PR gifting type of thing.
Yeah.
But I had worked with them once on a video. A year had passed, and I was like, well, let's send them a copy of the cookbook. And I thought they may tweet about it.
And how big
it.
Were they at the time?
Oh, massive.
They were already massive.
Well,
okay.
They were massive on YouTube, but I knew nothing about YouTube. Yeah. I didn't grow up watching
Same
it.
Same with me. I'm still new to it. I'm still trying to like wrap my head around it.
You guys are doing great as YouTubers, though.
Well, no, but what it is for me, it was your show was a big, like, there's a few shows I've done that have kind of started. The press tour I did for Self Reliance, I wanted to do it different because I have kids and they only watch YouTube.
Oh, so fun.
Oh, yeah.
I was kind of like, but I have been always more old world.
Yeah, yeah.
And so doing your show, when I got there, I was even surprised like how big the production value is.
We had an incredible moment on that where so we had Kelly Rowland on Last Meals, and she had just like walked off of the Today Show set, and it became a weird moment.
Oh, interesting.
But that was like a week after she was on Last Meals, and they showed a picture of the Today Show dressing room, and it was just like unkempt, and I'm like, we're in Burbank, California. We're a YouTube show, and we got a whole like talent wrangler. We got a nice, clean green room, all the cold brew.
Well, it's everything about what you guys are doing is as big or bigger than your biggest shows. Mm. And on those shows, you're kind of jumping in, you're doing 6 minutes, it's not quite working. And then on these YouTube shows, it's more long form. Mm-hmm. And also in terms of the host, which we'll get to the follow-up, you're really doing homework.
Yeah.
So when I was there, you're not just fucking around making food and we're goofing around. Mm. You had thought about what we were doing, and it's taken interviews in places that I personally wasn't expecting, where I was like, oh, I thought last meals, and I'd watched like the Hanks one. I'd kept up. I was like, okay, fun. But I'm like, oh, we're getting heavy. And then when you, and I told Kevin this right away. So on our show, we did the, one of our first callers that we released was the Ostrich Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Arguably when we were like, this show can get wild.
Yes. And that was one of the first ones where we thought like, these are the calls we need.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
A guy gives his boss a gift. He gives him tickets to an ostrich farm.
Small problems, big to you.
Yeah.
And it was so huge to him.
So huge.
It was truly, that episode is so crazy because also we dug a little and we're like, you have asked him to go 6 hours hewn for ostriches, but, and he doesn't love them.
But then on your show, that guy works at the same company as you. You surprised me with him coming as the follow-up.
Mm-hmm.
That's great producing.
The way that came about, yes. So my co-executive producer, Annalise, she like shuts the door. We share an office and she starts looking around. She goes, I was listening to We're Here to Help. One of our coworkers was on an episode. I was like, who and which one? Tell me. I'm literally trying to produce this show and I want to research. She goes, I don't know if you'd want me to tell you because like, I'm not going to lie, it's like a little bit awkward. I'm like, I'm going to find
it's gonna
this.
Happen.
You can either tell me. And so I listened to it. And then I was like, I'm going to go talk to Chris. I mean, he would probably love to talk to Jake about this. And she's like, no. Like, we got to slow play it. And I'm like, I'm going to just say it instead.
Yeah.
So he was super stoked to come
Jake.
On.
Yes.
Oh my God. Jake called me after that. He's like, you're not going to believe what just happened on Last Meals.
Well, that also really got me obsessed with this idea of follow-ups.
Yeah.
I liked them from the beginning. And we were always like, we want that. Seeing that, I'm like, oh, that's a whole new wrinkle of fun.
Yeah.
And then you said he texted you. Mm-hmm. You have a follow-up to the follow-up.
Yeah, while I go pull that up from my phone that's on airplane mode.
Yes.
Do you remember what was going on behind us while Chris was telling that story?
No.
We had Nicole, senior culinary producer, cooking. In a sushi
cooking sushi behind us.
Doing
right.
a whole, omakase.
And doing each dish.
As we had some bit about, we were like, oh, well, where in Japan are you from? And she goes, the South. You're like, oh, not like those soft northern chefs.
Yeah. So much going on. I remember she made like a seared bone marrow thing.
Yeah, she rocked it. All right, so
this
Chris.
This is the follow-up
by the way,
follow-up to the
this
follow-up.
Is so long, it could hit the New York Times bestseller list.
We're gunning for it.
We're
gunning for it. But so Chris got Link, the boss, the Ostrich Farm tickets,
yes.
And then he came up and told you that, oh, Link finally addressed them and said, thank you, this is a funny, thoughtful gift.
Yes.
And then now Chris has left the company. Unrelated reasons, Chris got engaged and his lovely fiance and him are moving back to Boston, but he sent me a message. Hold on, there's a whole, should I read the whole thing?
Sure.
Well, it's about how I didn't sign a cookbook for him. I just wanted to say
well,
how much I appreciate
it. So nice in person.
Oh, I forgot to go to his farewell party. Damn it.
This is turning.
But you know,
know,
this is how you
I
know that Josh is
better.
Sincerely a nice guy because he's casually reading these things. Like, oh, whoops.
I just wanted to say how much I appreciate working with you and also for your willingness to have me on Last Meals. It was an unexpected joy that I never expected when I joined Mythical. And so
nice.
For him to have that experience was absolutely huge.
That was really nice.
That's great.
Yeah.
And can you, before we go, can you tell us, unless you got something?
Well, I was just going to, what was the genesis of the show style? Because it is such an interesting way to interview. It really is like, it's a very organic way to learn about someone, learn about someone's connection to food. I think food, like you're saying, the Food Network was kind of the seed that sprouted in this weird way now with, I think, especially art, this country's relationship with food. But how did you land on that idea? And how did you feel about being on camera interviewing people in that way?
It's funny. I had never really been on camera interviewing people. I had been on camera cooking a lot, and I'd interviewed people when I was like a magazine journalist, but I'd never actually fused them. But my thought was, if you can get somebody to just be sitting there, drinking a beer, eating their favorite foods, those to me are when all the deepest conversations happen and when you can be comfortable enough to look Tom Hanks in the face as he's like, you know, eating Greek salad and taramasalata and being like, hey, so I heard your dad testified at the murder trial of your grandfather. That's pretty crazy. And they're just like, oh, yeah, you know, it's a great disarming way.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of people we're not doing gotcha stuff out there. I think a lot of people want to talk about this stuff.
Very
bored,
like the Bourdain connection is there. That was what his show did so transform.
And then who are three dream guests for you? Because hearing this, like, because what you're doing is it does get people talking. You do have booze involved. It's also your favorite food. So for me, I'm like, it does. And the element, even though it's a high production, you aren't just two people sitting there and the people are dark enough behind the cameras. It's like this, that you're really focusing. Who would be your dream top three?
Don't feel like you have to say.
I knew you were going to make it about
it. Go ahead.
What? Well, there's this guy that makes raw meatballs in L.A. I don't know if you've
Garrett
heard about
him. Cannot help.
It's been a relationship complaint.
Guy Fieri would be one.
Yeah.
Great.
Travis Kelce. Mm-hmm. We had Jason Kelce on, and he's the personal hero as a Birds fan.
Okay, yeah.
But now I want to get the other Kelce brother on there. I want to see what's deeper behind,
fun.
You know.
Guy Fieri would be really fun on that.
And then Ryan Reynolds.
Interested.
Big fan of. And he actually, he reached out to me after the Tom Hanks episode. Well, I reached out to him. Hear me out. But he responded, which I did not expect at all. And I sent him a message. It was really weird. I was overcompensating. I was like, I'm a 13-year-old boy. But anyways, he responded and he was like, I'd love to do the show when I'm like back from England. And so, Ryan, if you're out there, because he's a listener.
Yeah, he's a big listener.
He's a helper. Have you guys decided on a name for the fans?
Helpers is what we've landed on. I heard someone else pitch something. I can't remember.
I said trash bandits earlier in the episode. I kind of like that.
Kevin.
We had a lot of people on YouTube doing comments on one. I got to say, I like anything connected to Garrett. There's a character called Gil Buchanan that does our ads. I like anything linked to that part, the gilly beans. I like the gilly ones beans. And twos, two, 68 embalmies. Because Garrett creates all these catchphrases where you'll be like, well, ones and twos, 68 embalmies. So anything in there is my 2 cents, but we haven't found it yet.
Yeah. Well, Travis and Jason Kelce, they have the 92 percenters, sounds too much like a militia with very upset politics. Most militias don't have great moderate politics, this one sounds like.
It actually does.
Yeah.
And then before we get ready, can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Sure. So the Mythical Cookbook, number one New York Times bestseller. It's everything that Mythical has done with food. We literally took the best recipes we have ever created. Cool. I mean, over the course of like a decade, you know, the show spans. Good Mythical Mornings had damn near 3,000 episodes at this point.
Wow.
And so we just converted all of it. I mean, crazy stuff. Animal style mac and cheese.
Fun.
Orange chicken parmesan, grilled cheese ramen, all these crazy things we've come up with, along with just a lot of very weird stream of consciousness writing, because that's the only thing I know how to do. So there's a whole animated children's story in there. I have a whole like butcher chart guide to how we can stop making bacon from pigs and make it with penguins, because we're already like destroying the habitat.
Wait,
as well.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Penguin bacon?
Penguin bacon. It can happen. You know penguins make milk?
No.
Didn't until now, milk. But that's...
Wait, so
I'd love a little bit of
this
milk.
Real pitch is... Because I thought you were going to go get rid of the bacon. We're going to
plant-based
tofu.
No.
And that's one way to go.
And you're talking about what this is not about. You're talking about killing a bunch of penguins and making bacon out of those gross little birds.
If you've seen March of the Penguins, they're already dying.
That's like lobsters in the tank at Red Lobster.
But if you've seen Babe Pig in the City, that pig is thriving. He's in the city. You know,
it's a wild pitch, but a great one. Jake, by the way, you'd eat penguin bacon.
But hold on. Don't get out of this. This is wild, Josh.
Mm-hmm.
You want to do penguin bacon?
Well, we have a whole pit. I mean, kangaroos, because they're an invasive species. You know, the Australian government used to literally just pay people to show up.
Kangaroos are an invasive species.
Oh, yeah. No, Australia, straight up. You could just kill a kangaroo and show up to like a government agency and they'd give you cash for it.
Australia is barely.
Where are kangaroos supposed to be from then?
Well, no, they eat too many of the crops, and they
breed
super...
You know how
like
rats basically went on ships? What, did a kangaroo sneak on a ship?
Oh, sorry. We are the invasive species.
I was going to say, would you eat
kangaroos? The kangaroos evolved.
Would you eat human then?
What?
Would you eat human?
We have to go.
We're Here to Help is hosted by Jake Johnson
and Gareth Reynolds.
The show is produced and edited by Kevin Bartelt, and the associate producer and editor is AJ McKeon.
Our social media director is Caitlin Tanwakio, and our video editor is John DeBruin.
The theme song is made by Oliver Raleigh, and you can check out his music at oliverraleigh.com. That's Oliver, RALLI.com.
The album artwork is by James Fosdyke. You can find him on Instagram at James_Fosdyke, D-I-K-E. And if you'd like
to see me do stand-up on the road, go to GarethReynolds.com.
Additional artwork by Paddy Holland. You can find him on Instagram at PaddyHolland2004. And if you'd like early access to episodes, subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/heretohelppod.
And if you'd like to be on the show, email us your question at helpfulpod@gmail.com.
All of the advice given on We're Here to Help is for entertainment purposes only, and all listeners should be adults and make their own decisions.